Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And to let you know where that's going, I want to make a little longer explanation of that. That's enough. That's kind of a hook to get your attention and anyone who may want to take today. Amen. But this is about distinguishing the God who made man from man-made gods. Everybody say distinguishing the God who made man from man-made gods. Amen. How many believe that our God is a God that can be distinguished from all other gods? Amen. They said in ancient Babylon there was somewhere, well, it was in the hundreds of gods that were worshipped. There were two predominant gods in ancient Babylon. You're going to find in the book of Revelation an ecclesiastical system and a financial system called Babylon, amen, that is under the direct and distinct judgment of God. And the scripture said that there is a message for God's people that had become drifted into that system and got somehow influenced by that system. To understand that system that looks like it is so self-sufficient and self-sustaining is under the judgment of God and is going to fall. Amen. The scripture in Revelation says Babylon is fallen. And the message to God's people in association with that ecclesiastical system and that material system is to come out of her, my people, lest you become a partaker of her plagues. Can you say amen? How many know there's a man-made religious system that is coming? It's of man. It will speak of God. But there's a world church coming. There's a false prophet coming. And we're being conditioned right now for that world church. You know how part of what is taking place is that cardinal truth in Scripture is being edited by man to fit his own man-made God and his own man-made religion. So man-made gods are not just idols alone, but the idolatry represents anything that is placed in the person but before the personhood of the true and the living God. Can you say amen? So the issue is, who's carrying who? Distinguishing the God who made man from man-made gods. We live in a culture that's becoming more and more hostile to true Bible-based Christian faith. Have you noticed that? They don't seem to be bothered by polytheism. Polytheism means that there's the worship of many gods. Amen. You can have all kinds of people talking about all kinds of deities today without any problem as long as a Christian doesn't stand up and talk about one God and one mediator between God and man. The moment that happens, there's a violent reaction. They don't seem to be bothered by polytheism, the belief in the worship of many gods, nor pantheism, the religious philosophy that declares that God is in the water and the trees and the air and he's just in everything. Pantheists hold that God and the universe are identical and inseparable. You cannot distinguish one from the other. Well, we distinguish one from the other. There's a universe, but God made it. Hallelujah. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament. We declare that they are not one and the same, that there is a creator and there is creation. Hallelujah. And the heavens declare the work of this grand creator. Hallelujah. They declare his handiwork. And one of the great arguments today in the intellectual community and the scientific community, amen, so that you don't have to check your brain at the door when you come to church, is that in a single cell. And that's the whole theory of evolution that somehow, of course, the theory is shot with holes because you can't, one of the great truths of science is you can't have something evolve from nothing. And this cell had to come from somewhere, but it didn't. It just happened. And then it multiplied. Well, it had to happen to multiply. But people that are called molecular biologists are looking into the intricacies of a single cell and the engine that drives that cell. And there's so many complex things going on in a single cell that it can only communicate one thing with the science and technology to study, amen, these kind of things that we have today. That for this kind of thing to function like this, even in its tiniest form, there has to be a creative force and a creative intelligence to put this together. And it's one of the greatest apologetic, which means defending the faith, amen, things that has happened happened that scientists, many, are getting on board and saying, you know something, evolution has so many flaws in it. In light of what we see and know scientifically, we can't buy into evolution anymore. I'm not saying that they're all going to believe on Christ. I'm saying they're having to accept the fact that an intelligent, articulate, mighty force, hallelujah, was in work in the creation of the universe and of man. Glory to God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So even if they believe there is a God, that's not enough. Our God has to be distinguished from all of the man-made gods of this world. Amen. They don't even seem bothered by one God with many roads to him. There was a book called, amen, about, what was it, Entering into the Light. It was on the, I don't know, it's one of those books about a lady who died and supposedly went to heaven. Well, that's subjective. That's her own personal experience. Amen. I know one thing. She was as unbiblical as anyone could possibly be. And a lot of people that had a background in church or were so biblically illiterate, they bought into the book. Because she met a Jesus in the book as she went toward the light. And the Jesus she met in this place where she said she went, amen, told her that all religions were of God. That God is a God of great multiplicity, and he's created all the religions of the world, amen? And all of them would lead to the same place. So whether you're a Buddhist, hey, the Buddhists don't believe that we're going to heaven. And whether you're a Muslim, it's going to lead. The Muslims don't believe that you're going to heaven, darling. Amen? They believe if you don't get on board and bow to Allah, amen, that you should be killed as an infidel. Can you say, man? But if Christians stand up and say you can't go to heaven without Christ, we're intolerant. It's an amazing day. Satan loves and promotes, amen, man-made gods and man-made religions because they don't lead to heaven. And he knows it. And he would rather, honestly, people have a false religion than to be an atheist. You know why? An atheist is a candidate, amen, for God to reveal himself to. A person with a false God is not looking, amen, for God and is not open to any kind of revelation. Atheistic Russia has had a mighty revival because atheism created a spiritual vacuum. And when the gospel was brought to Russia, people rushed to get Bibles. They opened their heart to embrace the gospel that many are sitting home this morning, amen, taking for granted in so-called Christian America. They're not taking it for granted in Soviet Russia. They're embracing it. Red China was an atheistic. Anywhere there's Marxism and communism, there's atheism. And they're taught from childhood there is no God. Amen. But something has happened in these atheistic nations. Can you say amen? You know what's happened? Mighty revival is taking place. 80 million believers, amen, according to some estimates in Red China. And the revival and the evangelism is an ongoing thing. God is on the move in Red China. God is on the move in South Korea. If you lost someone in the Korean War and you wonder why, what did we accomplish there? Well, one thing we accomplished was that there was a line drawn and the gospel has touched South Korea. And there's a mighty move of God in South Korea. Some of the largest churches in the world are in South Korea. The largest Pentecostal or full gospel Assembly of God associated church is in Seoul, Korea. Amen. And it's a mighty church and one of the largest outdoor assembly of people in recorded history was at a gathering where Billy Graham preached in South Korea. Amen. There's no crowd to equal that crowd. Barnum and Bailey's never had it. They didn't even gather at the Colosseum in Rome like that. The greatest gathering of people, amen, together in one place for one purpose in the world was to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a move of God in our day. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The revival in South America is nothing less than astounding. Churches running 50 go to 5,000 in less than 2 years. Amen. It is a rocking the Vatican because in a largely Catholic influenced area, there's a move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And a mighty move of God. Hallelujah. And Billy Graham said at a World Congress on Evangelism in Holland a few years back, the mighty revival in South America that's making way all over the world is directly attributed to the efforts of the Pentecostal movement there. Everybody say it still takes the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, to bring true revival. And we're not talking about just experiences of a few Christians. We're talking about the convicting power and the convincing power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the Son of God and He is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. So if we don't get revived, shame on us, because God's moving where there was atheism and Marxism and communism. But listen, here's where it's hard for God to move. It's not in the spiritual vacuum created by atheism and communism. You know where it's hard for God to move? It's hard for Him to move, amen, in countries that are Islamic, because they have a God and they're not looking for another one. Can you say amen? It's hard for God to bring revival, amen, to a Buddhist area, amen, or a Muslim area, because they have a God and they're not looking for another. The fastest, in spite of the mighty revival, one of the fastest growing religions in the world worldwide is Islam. Even with all that we know about it that's wrong and all the world has seen that's wrong, amen, it's an amazing thing that people are still buying into that. Isn't that incredible? The most fought religion in the world, amen, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the most violent, reacted to religion in all of the world. Christ said it would be. He said, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've come to send a sword. I've come to set at variance. Can you say amen? Any church or Christian that thinks that somehow we're going to be compatible to the world while following Jesus, amen, is in for a rude awakening. And I'm going to tell you what the persecution is going to do. It's going to find out the phony from the true. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you love God, you're going to serve Him. If you know Jesus is who that He said He was, you're not open to debate. You're not open to man's speculation. The issue is Christ. Or Satan. It is not some other religion or the Christian religion. It's a battle between light and darkness, between truth and error, between the spirit of Jesus Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. And even before the first generation of Christians passed, amen, the writer said the spirit of Antichrist doth already work. Amen. Remember the book of Acts? When the first miracle took place, what happened? Did everyone applaud Jesus and appreciate Jesus and believe in His resurrection because of this miracle that was wrought through His mighty name? No. They brought in the people, Peter and John. They threatened them with death, and the Bible said they would have killed them. Amen. But they feared the people. Amen. Because there was another group of people out here in the populace that saw the miracle done on the man. Uh-huh. And they could not deny the miracle. I'm going to tell you something today. We're going here, and I'm getting ahead of myself so I don't have to catch myself later on, because it'll take a while to catch up. But I want you to know God distinguishes Himself Amen. From all other gods, because He's not a man-made God. He's the God who made man. Amen. He answers prayer. Amen. He honors His name. Yes, He keeps His covenant. Hallelujah. He's different from the gods of stone and the gods of man's making. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God has always distinguished Himself by the supernatural. You can't separate the supernatural from our God. He can't answer a prayer without invading your life and doing what the brief explanation of a miracle is in some dictionaries is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. It's amazing to me that ministers who won't preach healing and deliverance to God's people who are His temple, amen, will preach financial miracles, amen, for their church. Let me tell you something. God cares a lot more about your body that He lives in than the church that you worship in. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something else. If God will work a financial miracle to build a church where you go to worship, He will work a physical miracle to heal the temple where He lives. Can you say amen? He don't live in this church. He lives in you and He lives in me. Hallelujah. This church is a sacred place. There's no Holy of Holies here. But there is inside of you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And He lives in that place behind the veil of this flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the world's not upset about these things. They don't seem to be bothered by one God with many roads to Him. Clearly, this woman went to a light. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. If she'd had a biblical background, she'd have rejected what was said. Paul taught, amen, and the apostles taught, even if an angel bring you another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. It's the strongest word in the Aramaic or the Greek language for God's disdain and God's judgment on something is anathema. Can you say? today, amen. He said, if an angel bring you another message, don't listen to that angel. So it's not just a matter. And angels are popularized in America, amen. Angels are something that people will buy into. But it's not what an angel being a supernatural being. It's what the angel is saying that is so subject to the truth of God. Can you say amen? If an angel brings you another gospel, you don't listen to that angel. The whole Mormon religion is based on John Smith's encounter with an angel of light that gave him another testament of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the Mormons are not trying to take something from you, darling. They don't want you to get some holy water from the Holy Land. They want you to get the Book of Mormon, and they'll send you a very nice copy for free. And their videos are done very, very well. Can you say amen? Someone said, why in the world is the Christian faith fought so much and other faiths not fought that hard? It's because Satan promotes any faith that doesn't have a Savior in it. Can you say amen? That can truly save. But he fights the faith that has a Savior in it. So when the lame man was healed, they charged them. Not that they wouldn't build churches. They threatened them and would have killed them if it wasn't for the people and the miracle that distinguished God's Word and distinguished God of the Word. Yeah. Church of today says, we got a book, we don't need the miracles. And if you got a book, you've got a God in it. Amen. And that God hears and answers prayer. And if He answers any prayer for any reason, Amen. He has worked a miracle.
Yes, He has.
Because a miracle is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs.
Amen.
So if you pray, amen, for a job and God gives it to you, He has intervened and you have experienced a miracle.
Yes,
I don't know what kind of problem we have with miracles. We need a church built. We ask people to pray that God would meet the need, and some millionaire stops by with something and just drops a ton of money on the church, and we say, thank God He sent it in. Well, He just worked a miracle. Can you say amen? But if you have a bottle of oil and lay hands on people, they have a real problem with that. Can you say amen? God's either a God of miracles all the way, amen, or He's not a God of miracles. Well, I declare unto you, they would have killed them, and there would be no hint of the gospel of Jesus Christ getting out of Jerusalem if there hadn't been, amen, miracles through the name of Jesus, amen, to qualify that message. God distinguishes Himself by answering prayer. God distinguishes Himself by honoring the name of His Son. When they said, how did you do this miracle? By what authority did you do it? They declared the resurrection. Listen, they did not lead a pilgrimage to an empty tomb to prove that Jesus was alive, because the lie was already out and being believed. And they had been paid, according to the New Testament, to say that his disciples stole His body during the night. Can you say amen? Well, everybody believed that lie until a lame man leapt and walked through the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? So when they were quizzed on this, said, by what authority did you heal this man? As they were threatening them, they said, remember the man that you hung on the tree, whom God had raised from the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that distinguishes Jesus from Buddha, who they say His body was cremated and thrown into the Ganges River, and so many people have threw their kids into that river to sacrifice to their dead God. Hallelujah. Amen. It distinguishes Him from Allah. Amen. Because the God that is represented through the book, amen, came through a prophet called Muhammad, whose remains are in Mecca, and pilgrims go to Mecca to worship their dead leader of their dead religion. But Jesus is distinguished. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to be truthful. Can you say amen? Jesus is distinguished. He's not one of many. He's the only begotten, the unique Son of the living God, confirmed by God with signs and wonders and miracles. John said, is this He, or should we look for another? It wasn't enough to hear the voice out of heaven and see the dove coming. He said, I want to make sure. If I'm wrong about this, I'll make the biggest mistake in the history of the universe. And the biggest fraud in the universe will come on the scene. I got to know for sure. And Jesus said, go tell him. Blind see. The lame walk. And the deaf hear. And he'll know it is I. Can you say amen? Shalabokuri. Hallelujah. Amen. The church talks faith, preaches faith, studies faith, teaches faith, sings faith. Amen. But we don't see what God wants us to see yet. But I believe we're going to see it in these last days. Can you say amen? I believe the glory of God is going to come. And I believe, listen, I'm not talking about seeing a pillar of fire. I'm not talking about seeing a great light. Amen. I'm not even talking about seeing angels present. I'm talking about seeing someone that is bound by Satan set free as the devil's cry and come out. Amen. I'm talking about the glory that Jesus talked about at the tomb of Lazarus. Amen. That glory of God was upon Jesus. And when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. That man was raised from the dead, came walking out of that tomb. And he told them, he said, roll the stone away. Did not I say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Not in the Shekinah that was on that bush, but in the manifestation of that presence and that power. Hallelujah. Jesus in his sovereign authority spoke, amen, victory over death and the grave and called a man back. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's that kind of glory. What causes so much oh, by the way, they told him, they said, they didn't tell him not to build churches. They didn't tell him not to worship a God or the God or any God. You know what they told him? They straightly charged them, according to Acts 4, that they would not preach or teach in his name. Amen. Leave the name of Jesus out of it and practice any religion you want to. Leave this one God and this one mediator between God and man stuff out and practice your religion and freedom from persecution. Can you say amen? But when you get it down to one God and one mediator, then you're going to have a problem. We want you dead. We want you killed. We want your mouth stopped. So keep on preaching, preacher. Just don't preach Christ. Amen. And that's exactly, they went back and they wanted God to distinguish himself. Can you say amen? The true God to distinguish himself. And you know what they did? The Bible said they went to the Lord and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Amen. They went through this litany of things that God had allowed to bring forth his eternal purpose and said, you were in control of it all. You're the sovereign God of all the earth. And now look what they're threatening us with. He said, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. And that, here's the distinguishing thing. Amen. This is, oh, listen. And that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Can you say amen? And that what? And that signs and wonders be done. I'll tell you, it's a sign and wonder, not just when a blind man sees, but when the spiritually blind also get their sight. It's a sign and a wonder when a human heart is taken out and a brand new heart is put in through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign and a wonder when an alcoholic becomes a good daddy and a loving father. It's a sign and a wonder when a prisoner of sin and drugs is set free by the power of God. So I'm talking about signs and wonders, amen, that affect the physical, the material, but above all, the spiritual.
Amen.
Above all, the spiritual. Don't worry, there's going to be plenty of physical manifestations, plenty of deliverances, but in that spiritual domain is the primary target of the power of God. Hallelujah. He came to set the captive free, to open the prison house for the prisoners. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What causes? So they told him, don't preach in his name. And the Bible said, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. And when they had, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus, you confirm this word, hallelujah, with your power and presence. And the Bible said, after they had spoken these words, the place wherein they were was shaken. Hallelujah. Everybody say shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These baptized apostles and ministers were, again, not in a new or different baptism, but again, the Holy Spirit welled up inside of them, and they were filled with the Spirit and spake the Word of God with boldness. And listen to this. Everybody say, distinguishing sign. And with great power. Everybody say, great power. Gave the apostles witness. Of what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When that lame man was healed and they were quizzed, they said, listen, you put him on a tree, but God raised him up. And through faith in his name, this man stands before you whole. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we got a church today that's dependent on her influence, her wealth to carry her and to make her influential. We try to get the resurrection over by saying, hey, the tomb is empty. They didn't believe it in that day, and they won't believe it in this day. amen, unless there's an expression of God that goes beyond, amen, the literary, even the words of a holy book is not convincing without a living presence.
Amen. Amen.
Hello? We Christians say you can pray and get an answer from this God. We say that God listens. He's not a man-made God. He's got ears that hear, hands that touch, eyes that see, and feet that walk, and a mouth that speaks. Could you say amen? Turn with me to Isaiah 46, 1 through 13. We'll set this up historically as we move to a close, which means we should have brought a lunch.
Amen.
We're just scratching the surface of this stuff. But I'm interested in God's reaction to all of this. See, they wanted to get God's reaction. When they were threatened, they said, how's God going to react to this? We want to see what God's going to do in the face of all of this. This is His work and we're His servants. This is not just us and them. Could you say amen? Isaiah 46, 1 through 13. Let's see how God's going to react. Now, these people are watching something here. And Isaiah is going to speak to them by the Spirit of God upon him. God's going to speak through the prophet to them. As they watch something, they were captive, and we'll give you the visual setting in just a few moments. They were captive at one time by this nation called Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and then Nimrod came along, and they were captive to this nation. But then God brought a nation and toppled that nation. Got His people out, and now that nation is getting ready to be taken captive. And that nation who worshiped man-made gods is getting ready to experience the terrible reality that these gods that men have made cannot save them in trouble. He can't be distinguished with power. That was the whole issue on top of Carmel, wasn't it? How is the true God going to distinguish Himself from all these other gods that are being presented, and particularly Baal? Can you say amen? Let the God who answers by fire, let the God who manifests Himself, let the God who can move be distinguished from the gods who can't.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Is that okay?
Yes.
He said, listen, there are gods who are no gods and there's God who is a true God. And you turn on WEDU, one of Satan's greatest avenues to the intellect. I'm not talking about cutting off your brain. I'm talking about when they talk about religious philosophy. If you want to get some junk in you, just watch it sometime. They got people telling you about world religions and Christianity. And Christianity and the God of Christians is indistinguishable from any God of any pagan tribe anywhere in the world. But I tell you, He's different. Amen. I tell you, He's distinguished. The apostle said He's going to stand out. Amen. From the crowd of man-made gods. Hallelujah. The God who made man is going to stand out and be distinguished. And on top of Carmel, that's what it was all about. Distinguishing the true and the living God. Hallelujah. God said, build me an altar. One of the things that's going to distinguish Him when God's people really learn how to worship and revere Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Worship services don't start with a song leader and some cute little songs on Sunday morning, a cute little ditties to make us feel better. It starts with a place of worship where a sacrifice is going to be offered to God. It starts with an altar. God said, you want me to be distinguished with power? Amen. From all the other gods who say they're gods, they got all kinds of different worship routines too. But what's going to distinguish me is you build me an altar. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You put a sacrifice on that altar. Hallelujah. And then you dig a ditch around it and you fill it with water. And then you put water all over the sacrifice so no one's going to talk about spontaneous combustion. Can you say amen? When God is distinguished, He's going to distinguish Himself in such a way that it can't be attributed to chance or happenstance. Hallelujah. That's why He waits, amen, so long sometimes to move, because He wants everybody to know when He moves, He's just distinguished Himself. Hallelujah. Sometimes He waits to heal you until the x-rays say you're not going to be healed. The EKG says you're about to drop dead. Can you say, man, you'll never make it home from the office? And God waits until all man's systems fail, until everything is gone but Him, and then He steps in and distinguishes Himself. So no one can say it's that tuna that did it and that jogging that did it. And it wasn't the angioplasty. Hallelujah. It was God who moved in. Hallelujah. Amen. You're on the spot for a little while, taking the heat so he can get the glory. Because men like to explain away miracles. When I was healed of cancer of the blood, leukemia, you know what the doctor said when he couldn't find it anymore? He had a term for that. And it did involve God and faith and Jesus, whom we told did it. He said, spontaneous remission. Isn't that incredible? Spontaneous remission. You got cancer one day, it's gone the next day after prayer. What happened? God didn't heal it. No, it was just spontaneous remission. You know, sometimes cancer just does that. It's eating you up, and all of a sudden it says, I'm out of here. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. Hey, man, it takes some crazy people not to understand there is a God, listen, who distinguishes himself from all other gods that are made by man in religious philosophies. Hallelujah. He raises his son from the dead. Praise God. And through faith in his name, he proves that resurrection. Amen. Listen to what Bel, B-E-L, the first word in verse 1 is the ancient Babylonian god that was better known in the Hebrew tongue throughout the Old Testament as Baal. Remember the call, if Baal be God, serve him, but if the Lord be God, because God's people are drifting toward Baalism and the blending, amen, of the worship of the one true God with this God of the world about them. A prominent God in the Old Testament of the pagan world was Baal. And this is the word that Baal comes from. The actual root word and the word used in ancient Babylon was Bel. And he said, Baal boweth down. Nebo, who's supposed to be the son of Baal, stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast. See, they're leaving town. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. Listen to this about man-made religion. What Jesus talked to people that would get under the burden of man-made religion. It's amazing to see what people do to please their false gods. Can you say, man? And there's a burden to it. Amen. Young men are willing to give their life to have this place of pleasure and this to earn and merit this right to enter into heaven's glory. Can you say, man? Got to be a carnal side of this God because they're going to be served by seven sensuous virgins when they get there. And one of the motivating things is being served by seven sensuous virgins when you get there. Man-made religion always has a sensuous side. Can you say, man? That's why the Greek gods and god of Diana was a sexual goddess, and Baal was a god that allowed promiscuity and sexuality. Amen. And it was just everywhere. Amen. So there's a god of sexuality in many forms, but it's the same old ancient god. And that God is being revered and bowed to in the media like never before in America. And it has tens of millions of worshipers every single day. But they're carrying these gods out now. They're on the run, and they're taking their gods with them. And there's a humor to this almost, because although it's very serious, God is looking at this, and he said, I want you to see how silly this is. They're carrying carts full of their gods that they have made, their images to their gods, and that they make gods. And the carts are creaking under the load, and the animals are bowing under the load of that. So he says, you know, your great God stoops. Your idols are on beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They're a burden to the weary beast. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. I love the words of Jesus. Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Could you say, man, isn't that incredible? He's a lifting God. He's not a God that you carry. He's a God that carries you. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. He's not a God that's sustained by man. He's the God that sustains man with his grace and his goodness. He's the many-breasted one. He's El Shaddai. He's the sustainer of life. That's why the Bible said when Christ, who is our life, our sustenance, our sustainer, shall appear. Hallelujah. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly. He said, I carry you from the womb, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he, even to the hoar hairs or the white hair will I, listen to this, Are we bearing a religion? Are we making it happen somehow? Are we generating this thing? No, he said, I'm carrying you. Even into your old age, I'm going to carry you. If you're getting some age on you and the hair's turning white and the body's not what it used to be, I want you to know God carried you when you're young. He's going to carry you into those days. He's going to carry you to the end, and He's going to carry you to heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. He said, I will carry and deliver you. I made you, and I will bear, and I will carry, and I will deliver you even unto your old age. I am He. To whom will you liken me? Everybody say, He's distinguished. To whom will you liken me? And make me equal and compare me that we may be like. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth from his place and he shall not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. All these people that are drifting from the true and living God, trying to blend this with the idolatry and the false gods of this world. He's reminding them, those gods can't deliver. Look at those poor people. They cried unto him, and no salvation came. But what did the children of Israel do? They cried unto God, and God sent his angel. They cried unto God, and God destroyed an army. They cried unto God and God came to them. Hallelujah. Kind of distinguishes him, don't it? He said, who are you going to compare me to, Buddha? You're going to compare me to Krishna? You're going to compare me to Allah? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is incomparable to the gods that man had made. They carry their gods. Our God carries us. Can you say amen? Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. By the way, if you say, I don't have a pot-bellied Buddha in my living room, and I don't bow to some image of some foreign god, I want you to know something. Covetousness in the heart of a Christian is as idolatry in the eyes of God. Because you're saying there's something in this world, amen, that I want and I feel I need that is more important than the God that I serve. And you're going after a man-made God when you go after materialism. Amen. They're trying to blend it right now. Amen. With the gospel of Christ. But if you leave everything in its biblical setting, it will not blend. It will not wash from the Bible. You can twist scripture, take it out of context and make it context and make it say a lot of things. But honey, God is greater and superior to this material world. He wants to do things far beyond giving you silver and gold and Rolexes. He doesn't want a Laodicean church that is rich and increased with goods and say they don't need anything. He wants a church that is spiritually bankrupt enough to say we need the true and living God. We got the greatest choir on the block, but we need God in this place. We got the greatest building, amen, in the neighborhood, but we need God in this place. We got stained glass and tall steeples and PhD preachers, but we need the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The couple named Venable with a son dying of leukemia needed more than stained glass and steeple, amen, and flowing robes on the minister and PhDs. They needed more than a gospel of the ancient times. They needed a God of the present time to heal and deliver them. And I'm going to challenge you this morning. If there's a woman down in the hospital, and there is today, with a little bald-headed child that's dying of cancer. Ask her if she wants a new Mercedes or wants to take that child home. Honey, there is a value system that's been so corrupted by this world and the idolatry and covetousness that's in it that we need to get back to the God of Israel. What he's saying here, he said, listen, am I like that? Am I like them? Is there anyone like me? You can call on me and I can deliver you. You can't do that with all the wealth of the world. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me. Everybody says distinguished. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God said, I'm sovereign. I have all power in heaven and earth. And when I say it, I'm going to bring it to pass. And that's something that you don't need faith to make happen. God's sovereignty has nothing to do with your faith. You can believe in it, you can not believe in Him, but He's God anywho. Can you say amen? And He's going to do what He said, and what's in that book's going to happen. Because everything in that book has happened till now. There's no reason to doubt that the rest of it's not going to happen. The rise and fall of nations was prophesied in that book, not in Nostradamus or someone else. The Bible said if these are the gods you want to look to, stand with your stargazers, your monthly prognosticators. I see men at work that sit on pulpit committees that elect pastors, amen, and they want to know what sign I am. Rev, what sign are you? They're all gathered around the funny papers. That's the place it ought to be, right down there in the corner of the funny papers. Amen. And you know what all the psychic hotlines say? A little disclaimer so you don't take them to court. Amen. You know what it says? It says for entertainment use only. In other words, we're going to play with you. Will you come play with us? Amen. God isn't playing with us. Can you say amen? This is for real. Glory be to God. This is not a God that just wants to do something for entertainment value. This is a God that wants to distinguish Himself among those gods who are no gods. So man can have the option to make a choice based on a God who is distinguished. Hallelujah. My God answers prayer. I don't know about your God, but He's not a product of man's religious thinking. He's the mighty I am. He isn't carried by man. He's self-sufficient, self-sustained. He told them that we're worshiping wrong. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you because I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. You're not meeting a need in me. You're responding to my presence properly. Hallelujah. God doesn't need us, but He loves us. And He wants us for His very own. Hallelujah. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, God is going to bring up kings and He's going to cast them down. He's going to let nations come into power and He's going to take the power from them. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. God used countries to correct. God used countries to judge. Can you say amen? Amen. And He is sovereign. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I also will do it. Isn't it good to know that God can do what He's purposed? Yes. And it isn't good to know what He's purposed for you and me? Amen. To know Christ, to live with Him in heaven forever. Hallelujah. To give us an expected end. Yes. Glory to God. This sovereign God with absolute indisputable power that is distinguished by the heavens themselves. They declare His handiwork. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They cry out, there's a maker. Yes. Amen. The heavens cry out, there's a maker. We didn't make ourselves and you didn't make yourself. There's a maker. Hallelujah. I worked for Tampa Electric. We stood out beside a Tampa Electric truck and it was one of those cold nights when the wires contract because of the cold. Rare in Florida, 32 degrees. And I'm out at 3 o'clock in the morning and 32 at 3 in the morning feels like it's almost zero somewhere else with their humidity. And I'm standing out there, but the night was crystal clear. We just put a line back up and we were getting ready to go back in and we were huddled together in the cold and it was such an awe. The stars were glistening like diamonds. There was no cloud, no nothing. It was just perfectly clear. And we're standing out there on that clear, cold night looking into that bright, beautiful, glistening sky. And we were all awestruck. There's four of us standing there. And there's a man standing there beside me. And he said, you know something? To the rest of these guys, there's two other guys there that were not Christian. And he said, you know something? As he looked up, he said, because we're all awestruck by this. He said, if anyone believes that this just happened, that there is no creator, that there is no God who did this. He said, "This it would be like taking, amen, your watch," and he pointed to a guy's watch, a perfectly accurate timepiece, and taking a hammer and beating it into 1,000 pieces, putting 1,000 of those pieces in a paper bag, shaking it up. Here's the Big Bang Theory. Are you ready? Yeah. Pow! Pop the bag, and out comes a perfectly accurate timepiece. Ridiculous. You betcha. The heavens do what? They declare a creator. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They declare. They declare. And not only the heavens, but now molecular biology. In a molecule, there's an engine and an intricacy that scientists are saying it's blowing their mind. All of the many facets to a molecule. And it's saying something to the scientific community they don't want to hear. But being scientists, they've got to listen. It's saying there is a creator. Amen. This can't just happen. It's too intricate. It's too perfect. Shalama holy. This is the last day and God is moving. So they're watching. They're coming out of Babylon and they're taking their gods with them and crying to these gods as they go, and nothing is changing. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I will bring my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to move as a distinguished God among all the false gods in behalf of my people. So I invite you, put this in terms I'm going to read to you. I invite you to try to visualize the setting. Today's scripture lesson from Isaiah 46. This is what he said. Imagine a group of people, families of young and old together, fleeing a city about to be invaded, with all their earthly goods packed up, tied to the backs of donkeys and oxen, slowly making their way out of the city. It's a scene that's been played out many times in the 20th and the 21st century, but in this case, the year is 539 BC. The city is Babylon. And the refugees are the Babylonians fleeing before the commander of the Persian army under the conquering designs of King Cyrus. The Babylonians, who less than 50 years before had themselves been the conquerors of Jerusalem and the captors of many of the Hebrews who were carried into exile. Now it was the Babylonians' turn to face dislocation and humiliation at the hands of a greater force. They plod along the dusty road leading out of Babylon, the beast of burden strain under the load they carry, which includes not only household goods and family treasures, but the heaviest burden of all, the Babylonian gods made of gold and silver. Bel, known as Baal, and also known as Marduk, the leading god of Babylon, Nebo, his son of Marduk, god of water, writing, speech, perhaps others. These proud gods now bouncing with the slow cadence of the cattle and donkeys that carry them, scraping low into the dust of the roadway. God was saying, look at that. Take a good look, Israel. You got a God that parts Red Seas. You got a God that appears in pillars of fire. You got a God that comes down and sends His angels to deliver you. Look at their gods in the time of trouble. Look at this world. Look at Hollywood. Look at MTV. Look at the stars and the starlets and the big shots and the gamblers and the emptiness and the cold-heartedness and the vacuum that exists. They're serving gods that can't deliver them. They carry their gods. They sustain their gods. But our God carries us and sustains us. Hallelujah. So he says, I think the New International, Baal bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and cattle. These things you carry are loaded as burdens on weary animals. They stoop, they bow down together, they cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. God is saying to his straying people, see, they are carrying their gods, but I am carrying you. Come back to the God that will carry you. Can you say amen? Come back to the God who distinguishes himself by manifesting his power in behalf of his people. Yeah. The reason there's an exodus from the church in America is because we have subsidized the power and presence of God with our programs to try to get the attention of people and young people. Amen. It's not enough to give them the greatest weenie roast and hayride and Disneyland experience that you can give them. They need an encounter with the living God. I went to Haiti, amen, to visit the orphans we supported years ago, and there was 150 kids greeted me. And they greeted me with Venezuela Janel! From the least to the greatest, a little five-year-old kid with his hands uplifted saying, praise ye the Lord! Amen. And they begin to sing unto him. And as they sang unto him, tears of joy and appreciation coursed down these little children. My Bible said in the mouth of babes, praise is perfected. Can you say, they were not performing for me. They forgot. When they began to sing the Lord's song, they didn't look at me to see how I was reacting. They looked to heaven, lifted their hands, and tears began to come down their cheeks. Amen. I felt small. Amen. How many times did I have tried to shame a congregation into showing some little response to the goodness and greatness of God? And here these kids are just praising Him out of pure little hearts. Hallelujah. Listen, you know what we try to do? We try to get them with some little hook to keep them in church and keep them interested so they'll get off their Nintendo long enough and get away from their television and their cell phone long enough to drop by church on Sunday so we can get a head count and call ourselves successful. These kids are not too young to know that we have a God who distinguishes Himself, that you can experience, who manifests His power and His presence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're not too young for Satan to try to get a hold of their heart and their minds. He said, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. Isn't that good? You ever seen Jesus with the sheep? Across his shoulders? That's me. I want you to know who that was if you didn't recognize me. That's me. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why I'm a good follower of Christ if I am? You know why I'm still following him? Because he's carrying me. No, yes, I have the heart for him. I have the will for him. But I don't have the strength. I don't have the integrity. I don't have the personal righteousness. He's carrying me. Hallelujah. But thank God he's carrying me. I'm not carrying him. Hallelujah. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me as though we were alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales. Verse 6, hire a goldsmith who makes it into a god and they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders and they carry it. Every other world religion is sustained by men, conceived by man, sustained by man. They carry it. And they set it in its place and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. No one cries. If one cries out to it, it does not answer or save anyone from trouble. God distinguishes himself to his covenant people by answering them when they have trouble. Psalm 50:15 says, call on me in the time of trouble. I will what? Distinguish myself and deliver you. And you shall what? Glorify me through that deliverance. But folks, we want that real God. The preceding scripture said, offer to me thanksgiving. When you come in my house, you worship me from the heart. You don't get phony with me if you want me to get real with you. You offer thanksgiving and then call on me. Hallelujah. Treat me like I'm real in the way you serve me and worship me, and I will be real in the way that I respond to you. Don't play games with me. Don't play church with me. Can you say amen? Don't try to subsidize me with all kinds of stuff to get people's attention. I don't know about you, but I need a God that can move when I cry out in my trouble. I need a God that can save me, deliver me, show me His salvation. A God that's distinguished by answering the prayers and the cries of His people. Hallelujah. From the gods who don't answer. Remember this, verse 8, consider, recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there's no other. I am God, there's no one like me. Declaring the end, there's no one like Jehovah, there's no one like Jehovah, there's no one like Jehovah, there's no God 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 like Jehovah. That's part of a song we sing here. It's based on this statement from God Himself. And He said, the reason I'm different is because I move, I hear, I answer, I touch. Can you say amen? I heal, I deliver. I come through. Hallelujah. He said, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my purpose shall stand and I will fulfill my intention. Calling a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose from a far country. I've spoken. I will bring it to pass. I've planned. I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart who are far from deliverance. I bring near my deliverance. It's not far off. And my salvation will not tarry. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Can you say amen? God wants to bring His distinguishing, delivering power back to His church so that people don't just walk an aisle and shake the preacher's hand. They get born again by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? They don't just get baptized in water by a priest. Hallelujah. They get baptized into Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They get a new heart. Our God is not man-made. He made man. We do not carry our God. He carries us. Last scripture. Boy, if I could quit with this, it'd be wonderful. I'm going to try. Psalm 115. Let's look at how God distinguishes himself from man-made gods, the true and living God. This includes religious philosophies, not just images. That man makes, and that we make a God if we put before him. But you know, if you've got a relationship with a person that is more influential and important to you than your relationship with God, you have moved into an idolatrous practice.
Amen.
Christ said, if you come to me and you love your house more than me, your land more than me, your mama more than me, your daddy more than me, your husband more than me, your wife more than me, your kids more than me, you're not worthy of me.
Amen.
You're not looking for a God. You're looking for someone to just be your monkey in the cage, or your push button God that you pull out for your purposes and you put back, amen, keep him in his place, out of the center of your life. He said, that's not what I came to establish when I brought my kingdom to this earth. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I'm telling you, I would die for Pamela this morning. Put a gun to my head and say, get out of the way so I can kill your wife. You'll have to kill me first. I wouldn't think twice. I love her that much. But I will not give up my God for Pamela Venable. Can you say amen? She doesn't hold that place in my life, because that is a place for deity. That is not a place for a human. And the Bible said, unless you hate your mother, that doesn't mean to turn against your family, as cults would have you do. What it does mean is that when love for a family member, as great as it is, as grand as it is, compared to the love that we should have and the reverence we should have for God, you never take a person and put them in a deity's place in your life. Can you say amen? You don't deify your husband. You don't deify your wife. You don't deify your children. You don't deify your job. You don't deify a sports team. You don't deify a Hollywood star. You don't worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if you don't hate your father, mother, house, land, and your own life, you can't be my disciple. Listen, God, amen, will not take second place. He will not be right up there almost the same as. He said, I am not equal to anyone or anything, and I will not be treated that way. Can you say amen? The church is going to have to come back to quit trying to pull people in by bringing God down, but by lifting God up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to Psalm 115 in closing. Brother, find something really good. Hallelujah. Amen. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens, and he's done whatsoever he's pleased. He's sovereign. Everybody say he's sovereign.
He's sovereign.
Their idol, oh, don't you like the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said, our God is sovereign, and it looks like everything's out of control, but it's not. He's in control. And he said, we won't bow to your God. We only bow to him. And the God we serve, let me tell you something about him. He's able to deliver us from your hand, even though there's no visible deliverer here. He's here. But whether he does, he's also sovereign. And he's still going to be just as God, whether he does or whether he don't. We're not bowing to your God. Whether he does. Said, we're not careful to answer you. I mean, their life is in the balance. And they said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We don't have to walk on eggs about this thing. We don't have to tiptoe, amen, on political correctness here, even though our life's on the line. He's God Almighty. And if we die for his name, that's fine. If we live, we'll live. But one thing for sure, ain't nothing going to happen that he ain't going to allow. He is in control here today. Not this great king and not that fiery furnace and all these troops standing here. God Almighty is in control. Can you say, man, he's sovereign? Everybody say he's sovereign. Hath he not, he's not a man that he should lie, the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and shall he not bring it to pass? Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I know I'm going to heaven, because he's going to bring it to pass. If I keep trusting him, listen to this. I like this. Our God is in the heavens. He's done, oh, by the way, he distinguished himself, didn't he, from the false God. Amen. The fourth man showed up in that fire. Didn't God distinguish himself? Hallelujah. Took, didn't he distinguish himself in Daniel's lion's den? Yes. Hallelujah, from the gods that they wanted them to bow down to. This God answered. This God moved. This God manifested himself. Hallelujah. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. What we offered to God this morning was a sweet-smelling savor to Him. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They don't have breath, pneuma. They don't have spirit. They don't have life. They that make them are like unto them. They're as dead as they are spiritually. Can you say amen? So is everyone that trusteth in them. But listen to the change here for the God of Israel, who distinguishes himself by helping them in trouble. Listen to this. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their protector, their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He's given to the children of men. The dead praise not God, neither they that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord! Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Let's stand to our feet and praise Him today. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no Savior like Jesus. Our God is a God of deliverance. He will distinguish Himself by manifesting His power and presence in behalf of His covenant people. God is going to distinguish Himself as the gospel of priests. He always has. The Bible said they went everywhere at His command, preaching the gospel, the Lord working with them, confirming the word. Everybody say, confirming the word. You men of Israel, Acts 2:22, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved or accredited by God, among whom you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, you yourselves also know. God accredited Him by moving and distinguishing Himself through His life. Can you say amen? And raising Him from the dead. The gospel was distinguished by the power of God. Amen. Mark 16:19-20 said, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. God distinguished Himself on Mount Carmel by answering by fire. He distinguished Himself at the Red Sea by parting the water. Can you say amen? You cannot separate the God of the Bible, the Christ of Scripture, or the New Testament church from the supernatural and the miraculous. God distinguishes Himself. The gospel did not come in word alone, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Wow. Paul said, my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Here's that distinguishing anointing that touched lives. Hallelujah. That opened the blinded eyes. Amen. Not just physically, but spiritually. Praise God. But it was in a demonstration of spirit and of power. Hallelujah. Our God is distinguished from man-made gods. Hallelujah. 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 Nanda, Resetia Koteda Nashanda Dabatite Roba Hoseke Ise. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's neither entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for his children. But it is revealed unto us by the Spirit. I'm revealing unto you by my Spirit, saith God, the things that I am ready to do, the things that I have set myself to do, the things that I will bring to pass in behalf of my people to fulfill my covenant, saith God. Know that you have a God. Call upon me. Know that you have a God. Worship me as the true and living God with all you have and all you are, and I will give you all that I am, saith the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I'm going to read a testimony. We're going to worship. I was an evangelist at the time of this accident. His picture's here. Well, you wouldn't know him from the picture. He's so charred. I worked also for a propane gas company in Tarrant City, Alabama. I was loading a small gas tanks when an explosion occurred. A 30,000 gas gallon tank fed the flames. Hundreds of smaller tanks exploded. I suffered third-degree burns on my body, my face, forehead, cheeks, chin. Both arms and forearms were badly damaged. As you can see, there's pictures here. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ picked me up and moved me off the docks where the flames were so intense. He has a way of delivering his people when they are in trouble. The book of Daniel tells about three Hebrew children who were thrown in a fiery furnace. However, a fourth man, Jesus Christ, in parentheses, was seen in the fire with them and delivered them. Although they were not harmed, I know God would heal me and reveal his glory through my horrible experience. A friend of mine who was at the scene in Burn also said he thought I was dead. I was carried to the Burn Center at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. At first, it was thought I would remain in the hospital 6 to 8 weeks. But Jesus was making himself known through me, so I testified that he would perform a miracle for me. I was told I might be blind, as the flames had burnt my eyes so badly. I prayed for Jesus to let me die and go to heaven, and on the third day, as nurses and doctors scraped my skin every few hours, the pain was unbearable. God sent 7 women, who were the prayer warriors, to my room on the fourth day, and they prayed. I felt a hand come down and touch my chest. Immediately the pain left my body. My flesh began to recover. Dead flesh began to live. I left the hospital after 7 days. 7 women, 7 days. Go figure. Hallelujah. The doctor said he had never seen anyone recover so fast. In fact, I was healed before I left the hospital. A week before this accident, the devil told me he'd kill me for praying for others. Satan tried to destroy Job, but God gave Job twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning. Jesus has done the same thing for me. God bless you always, Reverend Eddie Shelton. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what distinguishes our God. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him for a holy moment.